Well, Jesus is alive, and that changes everything. You've just seen how Mary was changed by meeting the risen Lord. And in due course, Dr. Luke and Salome and many others would meet the risen Lord Jesus, and their lives would be changed too. And they were full of joy and praise, full of thanksgiving. And then as they walk into their new life, they walk in with the risen Lord Jesus, and they commit themselves to following Jesus for the rest of their lives. And Christians all around the world today come with great praise and thanks to celebrate that Jesus is risen from the dead. It is true. It is beyond belief. We cannot get our heads around it, and yet it changes people. They're never the same once they've met the risen Lord Jesus. It's only a couple of days ago that we recalled the death of Jesus, which was barbaric and hideous. Jesus suffered enormously on our behalf. He died a gruesome death, and he was put in a tomb. And so it's no wonder that from the Bible reading that we've had today, that the dominant themes that come through are to do with fear and disbelief and skepticism. The friends who were there had all seen Jesus die. They'd all seen Jesus come to this end that they didn't want to believe was going to be the end. And they wondered then, what would this mean for them? And they would have had their own questions and their own fears. I mean, if the Romans can take Jesus and kill him, maybe they're just going to round us all up, torture us, kill us, put us on a cross. And so they hide away. So their fear and disbelief is understandable. And therefore, when Jesus starts appearing to people, they're not yet ready just to believe. It takes some time and some effort for them to actually believe this impossible thing has happened. Jesus is risen. I mean, they were no more gullible than we are. People do not come back from the dead. And so it takes some time. Their fear makes them skeptical and hesitant. But once they encounter Jesus, once they meet Jesus, like Mary did, then that fear turns to joy and turns to praise. Think of the Apostle Peter, who's briefly alluded to in our reading. He was full of his own questions. He'd originally thought that the dying of Jesus was so horrible that he argued with Jesus, said, no, that can't be where it's going to go. And he argued with Jesus. And Jesus had to explain to him, no, Peter, this is what's going to happen, but I will rise again. I don't think Peter heard, and he certainly didn't understand when Jesus said, I'm going to rise again. So when Jesus dies, Peter is full of remorse and uncertainty. And yet, once he meets the risen Lord Jesus, all his doubts give way to courage, and he becomes one of the most courageous leaders in the early church. And he suffers greatly because he's a leader, because he speaks out on behalf of Jesus. That very first Pentecost, Peter stands up in front of the crowds and says, yes, he is the Lord. And he suffers for that. And yet later in his life, when he writes some of the letters in the New Testament, he's able to write with such passion about this hope that he has because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And he also will talk about an inexpressible and glorious joy in knowing the Lord Jesus. The resurrection completely changed Peter. He was a changed man. He was full of courage and full of willingness to serve Jesus no matter what it cost him, and it cost him his life. The joy of the resurrection engenders a joy, but it's not a superficial joy. It's a joy that is birthed in the struggle of life, in suffering, in pain. There is no Resurrection Sunday without Good Friday. There is no empty tomb without a man on a cross. So the joy that comes from meeting the Lord Jesus comes in the midst of the struggle of real life. And many who are not believers don't understand how Christians can face the struggles and the suffering that come our way with such calmness. Because that deep inner calm and strength comes from knowing that whatever happens in life, God has not abandoned us. Death is not the end. Death gives way to life. And however grim and dark your day looks, if you're a believer, you know that the Lord Jesus is risen from the dead and he is with you. And he has suffered as well. He knows whatever it is that you're going through. Ever since that first resurrection, people have been encountering the risen Lord Jesus, and it's changed them. It's given them a deep-seated joy, a deep-seated strength and peace to face the life that they have to live. Now, it's important to know that the joy and power of the resurrection doesn't come from the empty tomb or the eyewitness accounts. What do I mean by that? Well, the empty tomb and the eyewitness accounts are signs pointing to the reality, but they're not the reality themselves. If you're a thinking person and you're not yet sure about Jesus, then do by all means investigate the empty tomb, the eyewitness accounts, the effect on people. Read some things, think about things, ask questions. But the reality isn't in the empty tomb or the eyewitness accounts. The reality is the Lord Jesus, the risen Lord Jesus. And it won't be until you encounter the Lord Jesus for yourself that you will experience the joy I'm talking about. You know, even back in the early church, in the first Easter, there were people who were not convinced by the empty tomb and the eyewitness accounts. People like Thomas, for example, the skeptic. People like Paul, the persecutor. It's only when they experience Jesus for themselves that their lives changed. Now, let me be really clear here. You won't find the joy I'm talking about by going to try and experience joy, seeking after an experience of joy. C.S. Lewis, the writer of the Narnia series, set out to try and discover joy. He felt he could experience a little bit of joy every so often through literature. He was an English professor in Oxford. Or through the natural world. He got glimpses of this deep-seated joy that just came fleetingly in his life. And he wanted to try and see if he could capture that. And what was it that caused that? So he went on a search looking for joy. And you know what he discovered? He discovered God. He went searching for joy, but discovered God. And hence he writes his book, Surprised by Joy. I thought I was looking for one thing, and I discovered a completely other thing. Joy came as a result, as a consequence of meeting God. Joy is something that you will experience when you meet the risen Lord, not by going searching for joy, but searching for Jesus. Now, a great example is the Apostle Paul. As I said, he began his life as a persecutor of Christians. He wanted to kill people who were saying Jesus was alive. And then he met Jesus himself on that famous road to Damascus. And his life was completely turned around. And then he writes much of the New Testament. And in some of his letters, he encourages the Christians to serve with joy. He tells us to rejoice in the Lord, which is something you can't do unless you know the Lord. Now, let me give you one explanation of why the resurrection fills my heart with joy and praise. The world as we know it is full of lots of suffering and pain. You only have to look at the evening news to see story after story of war and terrorism and car crashes and misery. So it's extraordinary to think that Jesus, living his perfect existence with God the Father and God the Son, would put the perfection of heaven behind him and enter into the misery and the pain of human life. But not only that, when he is raised from the dead, he takes his humanity and takes that back into heaven with him. You would think that the human side of Jesus he might have just worn for a time like a suit and said, once he had been raised from the dead, okay, I'm off now, I've finished my public ministry. You know, like when you've been at a wedding and you come home and you get out of your suit and you just get back into your normal clothes, you'd think he could just chuck his humanity away. After all, his human body has the scars on his hands and on his side that shows just what humans thought of him. Permanently, he takes those scars into heaven with him. Now, isn't that extraordinary? that God values humans so much that Jesus' scarred body remains in heaven forever. I can't fully explain this and I can't fully fathom it, but it says to me that every human being is important, is special, because Jesus is like the first person to be raised from the dead, to defeat death and take a human body into heaven. It's like the door into heaven has been burst open because Jesus himself has taken his human, beaten, flogged, scarred body. Now, isn't that reassuring to you? Especially those of you a bit older and greyer, when your bodies are starting to feel a bit beaten up, to be reminded that you are welcome in God's presence. So I want to say to you, it doesn't matter where you've come from today, doesn't matter what you've done, doesn't matter what your past is, because Jesus is raised from the dead, you can start a new life. You can begin afresh. God says, welcome into my family because the Lord Jesus has been raised from the dead. Now, if you're not sure about Jesus and you'd like to talk more, please do talk to Mike or I or someone you came with today, because we would love you to know the joy and the peace and the relationship with God that I've been talking about. If you'd like to talk and ask questions, please do. I've put out a couple of little booklets in the foyer. There's one called Why Easter, which will explain why Jesus lived and died, and you're welcome to take that. There's a second one called Good Questions. I know many people in St. Alfred's come with lots of questions, and this is a very small booklet that answers about 12 big questions. The questions include, is the Bible reliable? Keep watching me, keep listening. Is the Bible reliable? What about other faiths? Why does God allow suffering? All of these sorts of things. So if you'd like to take one of those, please do. You also will know that there was a famous English scholar, J.R.R. Tolkien. Before he wrote The Lord of the Rings, he was actually another English professor and great friends with C.S. Lewis. Tolkien understands stories and myths and what makes stories work. What makes stories work. And he said, the story of Christianity begins and ends in joy. And he's referring to the incarnation, the birth of Jesus, and the resurrection of Jesus. The story of Christianity begins and ends with joy. And he goes on to say that there is no tale ever told that people would rather find was true, and none which so many skeptical people have accepted as true. So if you've started out as a skeptic, stay with me. Come on, stay with me, I'm watching you. If you've started out as a skeptic, you're all right. Lots of people start out as skeptics. There are people in the original Easter story who were skeptics. If you do not believe, that is okay. That's not a bad thing. But do investigate. Don't leave your skepticism, don't let your skepticism mark the rest of your life. Come and investigate. Allow Jesus to meet with you. Start reading the Gospels, if nothing else, and try and meet the risen Lord Jesus and experience the joy that we're talking about, because it will change your life. It will give you a new meaning, new direction, and a peace in your life and a purpose for your life that without Jesus you will not know. So I'd be delighted to meet and talk after the service if you would like to, or please do take these booklets and please join in the celebration as we celebrate today. The resurrection says to us that death is not the end, that no matter how battered or scarred you are by life, you are made new. And what awaits you is a glorious future with the Lord Jesus, here on earth and forevermore. Thank you. Amen.